Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. October is an excellent time to have a blood drive, at least that's what Dracula tells me. After all, October is the Halloween month, and so if you want to help the American Red Cross avoid something that's really, truly scary, you will roll up your sleeve, if you're healthy enough to do so, and contribute in the MTSU True Blue Blood Drive October 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And here to talk about it with us today is Regina Reculia Conway, and she is with the Tennessee Valley American Red Cross. So we'll be back to talk about blood and how you can help after these words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are some of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. Dr. Sean Foley, associate professor of history, took a tour last month of the Tabuk region of Saudi Arabia, an area rarely visited by Westerners. MTSU alum Abdullah Alkabresh, who works for a local agricultural corporation, facilitated the trip, which Foley will incorporate into his research. MTSU went worldwide October 1st when the comic strip Nancy depicted the character of Aunt Fritzy wearing an MTSU Blue Raiders t-shirt. The motivation came from cartoonist Guy Gilchrist's longtime friend and former MTSU football coach Boots Donnelly. And more than 200 freshmen participated in the MTSU Freshman Treasure Walk October 2nd. The Student Government Association gave away several sweatshirts, but the most desired item was a lanyard featuring collectible MTSU buttons. For MTSU News at any time, go to MTSUnews.com.
Regina, thanks for coming back. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Now, how did you guys manage to keep the blood drive arrangement going after MTSU moved to Conference USA? Because this was being done in years past in conjunction with the annual football matchup between the two schools.
Mm-hmm. Well, historically, you all have been such fabulous partners, and you've helped save so many lives, both universities, in the friendly competition, that we felt, athletics aside, we still wanted to stick with the mission and continue the partnership. And so far, we've seen signups that look promising for our drive at the end of this month. And so we're very excited to keep it going and see what happens maybe next year. You never know. These athletic arenas can change. So we're just excited to be working with both of you.
They change so rapidly. Mm-hmm. I can hardly keep up with who's in what conference anymore.
I know.
It's amazing. What sort of response have you gotten?
Well, I know that here at MTSU, we've received some appointments, but we certainly have many more spots. But as far as an exact total, it really varies by the day. And so what we tell everyone to do is call 1-800-RED-CROSS or go to redcrossblood.org and make your appointment. Sign up to save a life. In the 1 hour or so that it takes you to donate blood, that one donation can help save up to 3 lives. So it's a wonderful way to not only support your fellow Blue Raiders and cheer on your own team, but to help patients in our local hospitals who can't get out of bed, who really need some help.
We're just trying to get a feel for it in advance to keep the odds makers in Las Vegas happy. That's all. When it comes to signing up, you say it takes an hour to do once you actually get there, but that's really just because you have to wait for a little while. You have to wait in line. Mm-hmm. The entire process after you get there and fill out the paperwork does not take an hour.
Oh, no. 7 to 10 minutes is all that the actual blood draw takes. Mm-hmm. And I think an hour is a healthy amount of time to set aside. That is from start to finish. You check in. We go over some questions to make sure you're eligible, because even those eligibility requirements change frequently depending on where you've traveled, if you've been sick,
for parking and things like that.
Right.
Just this is an average amount of time to allow for the total experience putting into your schedule. And then if you feel a little woozy afterwards, maybe mm-hmm. you'll stick around for a while just to be on the safe side and you'll get orange juice or something like
that. That's right. You get juice, you get a cookie. We encourage you to sit back, relax for a moment. You've done a great deed and a great service. nervous. So, you know, just absorb it for a moment and relax. We want everyone to feel great. And we know we get people saying who are afraid of the pinch. You know, that's the big moment that people aren't looking forward to, the needle. But you can pinch the back of your elbow. There's the skin there is pretty, when you pinch that, it's a pretty good comparison to what it feels like. It's just that pinch and then it's done. And, you know, my youngest brother had cancer. And when you see someone going through chemo, you know, you're getting a blood draw is nothing compared to what some go through.
The pinch is never my problem. It's the fact that when I extend my arm, it's very difficult for the nurse to find a vein in me.
Yeah.
Now, eventually she does find a vein, but some veins are easier to find than others when people give.
Yeah, and a lot of people have an issue too with hydrating. Even drinking a lot of water can really change that and really help. You know, that's when 7 minutes can get even less. When you're well hydrated and everything's flowing properly, it can help everything. But yeah, different people have veins in different spots, different easier and harder for some, but we try to get our specialists in on the special cases. So.
Now, we know the need for blood never stops, but are there times of the year when you're supplies are lower than others, or when the need is greater than others?
They're historically low during the holidays, which we have coming up, of course, and then in the summer months. And we attribute that to the fact that people are not focused on, they're focused on other things. They're focused on making their summer plans and going out of town or going to the Christmas shopping and getting ready for the holidays, and they forget to make their appointment to donate blood. So we definitely see a decline during those times in the year. And the reason you mentioned before that there's always a need, and the reason there is always a need is not only because we always will have patients in our local hospitals, but blood is a perishable product. It can only stay on the shelf for 42 days. And we make sure that it's distributed and is used somewhere within the area before that time frame comes up. But, you know, it can only stay on the shelf for 42 days, and platelets can only stay on the shelf for 5 days. And platelets, you know, if you know anyone who's had cancer, they probably needed platelets. That's a huge part of allowing someone to receive chemotherapy. So the need is constant because this stuff doesn't last forever, and we always will have patients.
Are there any types of blood that you need more than others?
Right now, O negative is a big one. We checked our supply the other day, and that's what we seem to be needing most. And we find that O negative, we go through a lot of that because it's the universal blood type.
Yeah, so it's not a rare blood. A lot of people have O negative.
Yeah, and especially minority communities. I think 57% of the Latino population has O negative, and other minority groups seem to be higher. But we need that because it's the universal blood type. Anyone can receive it. So, you know, God forbid there's a terrible accident on the interstate. When a patient gets into the emergency room, we'll get a phone call and they can simply just take O negative when they don't have time to check a patient's blood type.
Does the information that you obtain from people at the time that they donate blood help you to break things down into demographic categories so that you will know who has the most of what type of blood and which particular types of communities might need the most of a certain type of blood?
Not necessarily. I think it's just that's more for safety measures to make sure that we're doing everything we can to screen the product before it enters the blood supply. So that's why we ask all those questions. But I think it's just medical studies have shown different blood types within different parts of the population.
We'll take a quick break here and we'll be right back. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Concrete Industry Management Program at MTSU fills the need for trained personnel who know concrete technology and techniques. Our alumni go into the marketplace grounded in basic math and science and able to promote products or services related to the industry. Our participation in the Academic Common Market ensures talented students in other states a chance to enroll on an in-state tuition basis. This is Dr. Heather Brown, Director of the program.
To find out more information on this or other university programs, visit mtsunews.com.
We are talking about the True Blue Blood Drive. Try saying that five times fast. With Regina Reculia Conway of the Tennessee Valley American Red Cross. The drive is taking place October 21st, 22nd, and 23rd at the Student Health Wellness and Recreation Center here on campus.
We can always use more people signing up, and we actually have, when you go to redcrossblood.org, you can enter the sponsor code MTSU19, and it'll take you directly to that page where you can make your appointment and make sure your vote is counted.
When it comes to actual givers during the blood drive, do you get more students or members of the campus community, or do you get more people from the external community?
Yeah, it's pretty divided. I would say mostly students. That's just off the top of from what I've seen and experienced at these drives. But it's always great to see members of the community walk in, and we want to make sure they know that, hey, this is your drive too. And when you live near one of these campuses, you certainly can feel the presence of the students in the learning atmosphere, and it's so cool. So I think students for sure would be number one, but everyone is invited and really welcomed.
What sorts of restrictions mm-hmm. are there on people? What sorts of people should not give blood?
Well, if you're 16 years old, you have to have your parents' consent. So and under 16, you're not eligible. So you have to be 16 years old. When you're 16, get your parents' consent. And then 17 and up, you have to be in good health, general good health, and weigh at least 110 pounds.
No autoimmune illnesses like HIV or anything like that, right?
If you know that you're a carrier of something like HIV, you would be deferred during our process. When you would answer all the questions, those are certainly covered. So, but you know, our products are tested thoroughly as soon as they're collected. Before they ever get to patients and hospitals, they're tested multiple times in labs, and you know, we've detected some units where people didn't know that they had cancers, and those have been red flagged, and we've worked with those patients and gotten them help, and that comes up sometimes.
Yeah, and it's an important point to make, because I think there is still some fear or some ignorance of the facts lingering from the early stages of when America was just discovering what the AIDS virus was really all about, that some people would be getting tainted blood. And the American Red Cross has progressed way beyond that point now.
Right, and we're FDA regulated. So every unit of blood is considered essentially to be a drug. So it is FDA, we follow every FDA guideline, and every needle is brand new, one-time use. You cannot get AIDS from donating blood. The way that the process has been honed has changed. And I've been to some of our labs in North Carolina, and it's taken very seriously, and because that's our number one goal in the mission to collect blood is to provide the safest blood supply for everyone out there too. I mean, that's a big responsibility, so we take it very seriously. And that's why sometimes people will say, oh, it's such a bummer, we have to go through all these questions and I got deferred, you know, I couldn't give blood today because I was sick yesterday. Like, what's up with that, you know? But then it may seem like we're being sticklers, no pun intended, but it's because that's what we have to do. It's our responsibility.
Even if you have, you know, just a cold or a sinus infection or anything like that.
If you have a cold that day, if you're not feeling well, don't worry about it. We appreciate the thought, and we want you to come back as soon as you're feeling healthy. But if you're just getting over something, wait till you're done and wait till you're feeling back to 100%.
How does the American Red Cross decide how to distribute the blood that it collects among all of the people who need it, all of the hospitals and clinics?
We are in close communication with every hospital. We service 58 hospitals throughout Middle Tennessee, parts of Southern Kentucky, Missouri, and Illinois. And we are in constant communication with their labs, their lab directors. Vanderbilt Medical Center, for example, is a large user of our product. And even if there's a wreck on the interstate, we hear from them. We bring them units, even if it's within an hour. You know, we make sure that they have what they need on the shelf. So we monitor that. We have our daily, we can kind of guess on based on the day how many units each hospital will need. We allocate it in that way. And then when there are disasters, when things strike, the Boston bombings and things like that, we make sure that all of the American Red Cross teams collectively communicate with each other. You talk about what's that hospital's situation, how many patients do they have coming in, what units do they need, and we provide what they need, if they need any units from us.
I think people realize now from all the public service announcements, surely, that you and your colleagues go into overdrive at any time there is a natural disaster, a flood, a tornado. Mm-hmm. I'll bet you were very busy during the Good Friday floods in the Nashville area.
Hey, that was a very busy time. And we work in the blood and platelet donation side of the Red Cross, but our counterparts in the chapter and disaster side, I mean, they do everything. It's all hands on deck, for sure. And we're there to support them and make sure we monitor any, if there are any patients in need, and what our local hospitals are doing. And, yeah, you see them out with the vests, and it's, you know, all hands on deck, like I said, and just being on the front lines and comforting those people. It's just terrible when your world's turned upside down to feel so helpless, but it's great to have people in place who know how to help and who can be the first person to reach out and say, hey, we're here. It's going to be okay.
And the last thing you want to be concerned about is if you're injured and bleeding, either internally or externally, if there's going to be enough blood to pump back in you in the event that you need surgery or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that's something that people can forget sometimes. You just assume that it's going to be on the shelf. If I ever need it, it's going to be there in the hospital. But what we forget is it comes from people in the community who can give. We can't make blood. We can't, you know, it's a perishable product. We have to keep giving. We have to keep rolling up our sleeves because there are times when we're really low and it's serious. And we're talking with hospitals saying, just trying to figure something out.
And so, you're not a for-profit blood bank. You don't pay for blood. You depend upon the generosity of people.
Yes, and I think that's kind of cool because no one is coming in because they're getting paid. They're coming in because they want to help save a life, because someone they loved, their mother, their father, their husband, wife, child, someone has been through the process, or they just want to do it to know that they're helping someone else and giving something back. And I just think that is a beautiful gesture. We've always been that way. It's always been a volunteer effort. People volunteer their time and come in it. That's another way that we help ensure a good quality, safe product in some ways. I mean, it's a practice that we believe in.
We'll be back in just a moment. And when we come back, we'll talk to Regina not only about her professional interest in this subject, but also the personal interest in this subject to which she referred earlier in the program, her brother. This is MTSU on the Record.
The MTSU Department of Art has the newest facility for visual arts in the state, with approximately 50,000 square feet of space, including high-tech computers and computer-driven equipment for multimedia, graphic design, printmaking, sculpture, painting, and ceramics. We feature a visiting artist lecture program and an exhibition program that exposes students to work by national and international artists. This is Jean Nagy, Chair of the Department of Art.
To find out more, visit mtsunews.com.
Regina Reculia Conway is our guest. She's with the Tennessee Valley American Red Cross, and we're talking about the True Blue blood drive. No, you don't have to bleed blue. You can bleed red or orange or whatever color your blood happens to be. You know, it can be green Vulcan blood. We don't care. We just want your blood. It's on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of October. That's a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in the Student Health, Wellness, and Recreation Center here on campus. You referred to your brother earlier, who had cancer. Talk about that situation and how it inspired you to do what you do today.
I'm the oldest of six kids, and I grew up in Middle Tennessee, and I actually attended MTSU, so the Blue Raiders at home. And after I graduated from college, I was actually working at a news station here in Nashville, Channel 4, and the day I took the job there, Thomas was diagnosed with leukemia. He was trying out for football at his high school and just was dragging, was really tired, and just said, guys, I can't do it. And my mom took him to our family physician one day, and they did tests and revealed that 96% of his blood cells were already infected with cancer. So that same day that the test results came back, they picked him up from Franklin High School and drove him to Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. And it was the first time that our family had been impacted by anything like that. It's the first time I knew someone so close to have cancer. And it was really weird to be like, my brother's the kid with cancer. He's the cancer kid, you know, and you see him. He lost his hair, and Thomas was a champ, though. He did so well. He was scared at first. You just don't know. One of the first things he said is, am I gonna make it? Am I going to live? And, you know, those are answers that you don't have questions to at the beginning.
And how old was he at this
15.
Time?
15.
15.
15. And so it just kind of turned our worlds upside down and certainly gave us a brand new perspective. And leukemia is cancer in the blood. And so he needed a lot of blood, dozens and dozens of units, just to stay alive. I mean, just to make it through. And to he needed a lot of platelets so that he could take chemo. And seeing someone go through chemotherapy is just, it's wonderful because you know it's working, but it's horrible to see them having to get that poison injected. And just the tribulations that all these cancer patients go through is just so tough. And I think that's why knowing that just rolling up your sleeve and donating blood can help save those people who are in the toughest times of their life and really fighting. They are battling. It's great to know that that's something you can do to help, and it's real.
What ultimately happened to Thomas?
Thomas is doing well. He made it. It was 3.5 years, and now he's attending University of Tennessee, actually in Chattanooga, and he's doing well. He's starting to actually get back to the old Thomas that we knew. It's taken a little while, but he's getting back, and it's great. And he's starting to really feel appreciative, and I talked to him, and he is a huge supporter of blood donors. He just thinks it's great because, I mean, I remember sitting next to his bed at the Children's Hospital and watching him receive blood, just watching it go in his veins before I ever worked for the Red Cross, and it just changes your perspective. You just realize when you look at that bag and you look at the person you love, and it's like, wow, someone gave that to him. I mean, someone sat there on a bed and they didn't care about the needle, they didn't care about the weight, and they did it. And he's alive because of that. And it just, you know.
Did you and members of your family and his friends have the same blood type as Thomas so that you were in a position to give him blood?
We didn't do direct donations, but we held a blood drive in honor of Thomas at Grassland Elementary School, which was in our community. And that was my first encounter with the Red Cross. And they heard about Thomas. The Red Cross wanted to do a blood drive in honor of him. And the community just came out. And I remember laying on the bed. I was donating blood, too. And looking around and thinking, there are all these people here, all these strangers who are just willing to give. And I was very moved by it.
So not all the blood obviously went to Thomas because it wasn't all of his type. But his predicament was the impetus for the community coming together and giving all types of blood.
Yeah, because for every Thomas, I mean, there are hundreds of other kids, thousands, who need it. It's just, that's one child at one hospital in Middle Tennessee. There are so many families who are impacted. And again, I just think, especially when someone you love needs it, you realize how important it is. But we just have to remember, we have to take our own initiative to do this because we can't make it. It has to come from us.
In the course of your work, do you run across a lot of people who will set aside their own blood if they know they're going to have elective surgery and give their own blood or have friends give blood if they're of the same type and have that specific blood designated for that specific purpose?
We do. We do come across that, direct donations.
Okay.
And that is usually physician prescribed. That's usually something where we speak with the patient's physician. We talk about what that patient in particular needs and try to match those needs with through family and friends. It's not a usual practice. And in some cases, it's better to have a blood type not from a family member. You know, and it just depends on what you're battling, what your body needs. But
right. Everybody's different and you have to get your doctor's advice on this.
Right. But if there's a prescription and that's what's best for you, then we're all about it.
About how many pints of blood would you say that Tennessee Valley collects in the course of a calendar year? Ballpark.
I would say, More than 100,000 units is what we collect per year. And we've said in the past that we need about 600 donors to give now, and we are nowhere close to that. So we really are trying to work with donors and remind them the importance of this, because our local hospitals always have the need, and we want to make sure that patients are getting what they need.
We'll take one more break and we'll return. This is MTSU on the Record.
Women in Science and Engineering, or WISE, helps college women prepare for and become involved in science-related careers. WISE nurtures women's interest in these fascinating and critical fields and provides mentoring and networking opportunities. The group's main goal is to assure women of their importance in all scientific and technical fields and to promote equal opportunity and treatment of women in science. I'm Dr. Judith Iriarte-Gross, WISE Advisor.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
We are taking this opportunity to remind everybody about the True Blue Blood Drive, now in its fourth year, which will take place Monday, October the 21st from noon to 6, and from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Tuesday the 22nd and Wednesday the 23rd at the Student Health, Wellness, and Recreation Center here at MTSU. Regina Reculia-Conway from the Tennessee Valley American Red Cross is here with us. And as this blood drive scheduled as it is fairly close to Halloween, could we make a party of it? Say, some of us come dressed as goblins and ghouls,
yeah,
and Dracula and Frankenstein and the Wolfman, and
yeah,
our favorite monsters, maybe a few zombies.
Oh yeah!
And you wouldn't mind a few people coming in weird makeup and costumes, would you?
Oh no! Hey, Dracula, the vampires may, you know, add a little extra motivation to get in and get out quickly. So no, I think that's great. It's, you know, donating blood, though, I've heard it said donating blood is a great way to help starve a vampire and save a life. So it's a multifaceted donation. So yeah, come on out and have some fun.
Once again, the times are 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday, October the 21st, and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday, October the 22nd and 23rd. You can make an appointment, or Regina, can they just show up without an appointment?
Absolutely. Walk in and we will be happy to take you. Every donation helps local patients. So if you have an appointment, that's great. That kind of ensures that you can get in and out as efficiently as possible. But hey, we understand people are getting out of school, coming in through between classes, so walk in at any time.
And here's a little extra added incentive. There's a giveaway for donors entered for a $1,000 gift card drawing.
Yeah, it's essentially a $1,000 Visa gift card, which almost all of us can use. I'd say all of us can use, especially as the holidays come. You know, there is a lot of shopping to be done. And so we're very excited to be offering that. And not only do you receive that opportunity when you present to donate blood, you get that opportunity, you're automatically signed up, and you also receive the gift of feeling really great about what you've done. And that 1 hour that you're there, you help save up to 3 lives. This is a perishable product that has to be replenished. And I think what's important to remember too is that we can't make blood. It has to come from people in the community who care. And many of us have a personal story, and many of us understand the importance. So if you're here the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and you have the time, come out. We're trying to get 500 donors to come in. That's our goal for the day, whether you're a student, a faculty member, or a member of this wonderful community here in Murfreesboro. We encourage anyone who has an hour to help save a life.
If you need more information, go to redcrossblood.org. All together, redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. With all respect to HBO, we are not looking for true blood. We are looking for true blue blood. Come on out the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd and help save a life. Regina Reculia-Conway, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.